In one of the Psalms, it says, "What is mortal man that you keep him in mind, O Lord, that you have any thought of him?" And when we consider that God holds all things in being, from the furthest outreaches of the galaxies to every hair on our head, we can further enhance our appreciation of this by considering how lowly man is in the cosmic scale of beings. And so theology teaches us that the difference between the brightest of all human intellects, the figurative Einstein as it were, and that of the most sluggish and feeble of human intellects, that distance, which we might imagine is very great indeed, nonetheless, is not as great as the greatest of all human intellects compared to the weakest of angelic minds. That angels are a class of beings that are immensely more intelligent and more powerful than human beings. And so the way we stare at an anthill would, in some respects, be the way the angels look upon us, save for the fact that they know how much God loves us, and all the more wondrously, that God deigned to become man. And so the angels do appreciate the dignity of man and the fact that he is made in his image and likeness. But between us and the angels by nature, we are a long way indeed. And we can also add that on account of that, were it not for God's providence and his protection, especially in a fallen world, then we would truly be at the mercy of the malign spirits, which would not leave us in a good condition indeed. If we look down on anthills, we imagine what little boys do with magnifying glasses in the sun, and anthills, and you get some idea of what those malign spirits might do to us. In other words, if God's restraining providence didn't stop them, the demons could simply snuff us out of existence. We would be quashed like bugs on a windshield. And so it is well for us to ask for the protection of the holy angels. And here, it is helpful to clarify what we're doing when we're asking the angels to help us. If I had to simplify it, I would say most of all that we're humbly reminding ourselves through our recourse to the angels, which God has indicated to us, that we're entirely dependent on God for all things. I suppose that's what it boils down to. Because when we're praying to the angels, we're not boosting their powers, for example. Michael doesn't need any help to throw the devil out of heaven. The moment God decreed it, Michael did it, and it's done. Michael didn't have to struggle, and there was never any question about the outcome. Michael thundered in heaven, "Qui sicut Deus? Who is like God?" And from that moment, he cast the ancient serpent out of heaven. When God so grants it, whether on account of our prayers or otherwise, that our guardian angels keep us safe, it's done. So the angels are not somehow boosting their superpowers by our prayers. But rather, we are growing in virtue and humility by calling upon their intercession and protection. And we see this happen all throughout the scriptures. How many times does someone have recourse to God and he sends them somewhere else? Go to the prophet, go to Samuel, go to Nathaniel, go to Abraham, go to David, go to Moses. Even, wonder of wonders, our Lord said to certain lepers that came to him, "Go show yourselves to the priests." God will often send us to a different door and says, "Enter through that." And I suspect that it's precisely to counter what is the root of our fallenness, which is pride. So keep that in mind next time you hear the oft-touted phrase, "Well, I go straight to God." Well, God more often than not reroutes us through a different door. And the angels are a big one. He offers us these as a gift in friendship as part of the communion of saints, and he says, "Avail yourselves of their protection." Again, not because we're somehow boosting their powers or what have you. The malign spirits only can act to the degree that is permitted by God's providence. And so we might even say in extreme cases, for example, of possession, that God's restraining providence is still at work, because God doesn't allow those evil spirits to entirely crush someone, at least not until they have so fully given over their will that at that point God simply leaves them at the mercy of what they themselves have willed. In the times in which we live, in which we are surrounded by so much evil, it stands to reason that we ought to invoke the help of the angels even more. And especially on this feast day of these great archangels of Michael and Raphael and Gabriel, and also being reminded that each and every one of us, by the teaching of the Catholic Church, we know that we have a specific guardian angel that is tasked with watching over us, caring for us, and specifically, and this is the most important point, providing that and that alone which is necessary to get us to heaven. And so, I suppose a final thought that I might offer is that the angels do not necessarily always guarantee bodily protection, but they do guarantee, if we avail ourselves of it, infallible spiritual protection. God says that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond our means, or I should be more precise and say, the means which are granted to us through his help. So if in times of temptation, or even in times of great trial, or even potential martyrdom, that if we avail ourselves of his help, including that of the angels, that he will always provide that which is necessary for our salvation. And so he says, fear not those that can destroy the body, but those which can destroy the soul, that it can keep it from heaven. And on this feast day, we're reminded of such great helpers that we are given to make sure that we are led safely on our journey home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.